Inoho, please be seated.
Well, we have with us Dr. Royden Somerville, and I'm going to invite Dr. Royden Somerville either to speak to your opinion or to read through the opinion as you see fit. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honour. Your Honour, I understand all the parties have seen the opinion. In my capacity as amicus, I was asked to address three specific questions involving the deemed permits. And I've set out the three questions in paragraph one of the advice. The first question, are deemed permits a creature of statute? The finally expire 1st of October 2021. Question two, in accordance with section 124 of the Resource Management Act, on an application for resource consent to replace a deemed permit, can the right of priority continue to be exercised until a decision is made, either granting or refusing consent? And thirdly, can rights of priority be recognised in the provisions of PC7 if they ceased to have effect on enactment of the Resource Management Act, section 366, paragraph G, and or deemed permits finally expire on 1 October 2021, section 413, subsection 3. Your Honour, if I could take you then on to paragraph 4, that is the objective I have been working to as I provide research for this advice, and I just have been focusing very much on the second line in terms of an interim planning framework to manage the matters set out in the balance of the objective. I've set out in paragraph 5, 6 and 7 my understanding from the material I have received. I realised that they would have changed significantly throughout the course of the hearing in terms of numbers. I am advised from the material, and that I assume that is still the position, that most, if not all, deemed permits are subject to deemed conditions authorising takes of water based on historical mining requirements and to certain rights of priority relative to other permit holders. Then in paragraph 9, Your Honour, if I can just read that, the priority to take water is determined by the date of issue, that is, the holder of the earliest dated licence has priority over holders of subsequent permits and could require them to reduce or stop taking water. I've used the term licence, Your Honour, because that's a mining term, and in terms of these deemed permits under the Water and Soil Conservation Amendment Act, 1971, they all relate to race licences, and for that reason that's perhaps an appropriate description, and when one looks at the race provisions in that legislation, the word licence is used. Under PC7, the Council could create an interim regime in which deemed permits will be replaced subject to the same conditions. If that existing permit is not subject to controls and minimum flows, then the replacement consent granted under PC7 will likewise not be subject to such conditions. Now, I'm making some assumptions there. That is how I read the instrument. It may have amendments have obviously been suggested and that sort of thing. The majority of the deemed permits, as I understood from the material, occur in the Lagatari and Manuhirikia catchments, and are not subject to minimum flow conditions in the operative regional plan. And again, I do not have up-to-date information on that, so that may be wrong. Turning to the statutory context, which the questions are really asking me to consider, and that is the Otago Water was originally allocated by way of permits known as mining privileges. Mining privileges were issued under the Mining Act 1926 and earlier mining legislation and entitled the holder to take and use water. The mining privilege could, however, allow a water right to be taken for non-mining purposes, including for irrigation. In terms of mining classifications, one normally looks at the prospecting, exploration and mining, and if one was looking for an equivalent Section 14 under the Resource Management Act approach, that would be a mining approach. The privileges are now almost exclusively used for irrigation purposes throughout the various catchments in which they are granted. I've then, in paragraph 14, summarised what the Mining Act 1926, that it was repealed at least, and that the Water and Soil Conservation Amendment Act 1971 was commenced on the 1st of April 1973. And under that Act, and it's very clear from the provisions, the mining privileges were continued, the rights of priority were retained and only lost if relinquished by the holder. The holder was entitled to obtain a certificate of priority. The holder was entitled to remedies, including damages and an injunction to enforce priority. And Crown and local authority current mining licences did not expire. The 1971 Act was repealed by Section 361, Subsection 1 of Schedule 6 of the RMA. Under that Act, mining privileges are dealt with under Part 15, which is headed at Transitional Provisions. Section 366 of the RMA provides that, except as otherwise provided in the same part of the Act, that is Part 15, from the date of the commencement of the Act, various classes of instruments listed shall cease to have any effect. The list included in paragraph G, every current mining privilege within the meaning of Section 2 of the Water and Soil Conservation Amendment Act 1971, and rights granted under the Water and Soil Conservation Act 1967 on an application made under Section 18 of the Water and Soil Conservation Amendment Act 1971. Thus, except as otherwise provided in Part 15, mining privileges cease to have any effect on the enactment of the RMA. However, Section 413 of the RMA, which is contained in Part 15, provides, among other things, that mining privileges, including rights and substitution granted under the Water and Soil Conservation Act 1967, retain their status in effect until they finally expire on the 1st of October 2021. And I've set out the section. I'd just like to stress three terms that are used in that section. In subsection 1, the words except as provided, and subsections 2 to 10. And at the end of paragraph B, shall be deemed to be. And in paragraph subsection 3, every deemed permit at the beginning of that. The Environment Court in the past has described section 413, subsection 3, as a sunset clause. It applies to Crown, local authority, and private privileges. So turning to the first specific question, it is a question of statutory interpretation, whether, and if so, on what principled basis deemed permits are a creature of statute that finally expire on the 1st of October 2021. And I've referred there to Section 5 of the Interpretation Act, which states the meaning of an enactment must be ascertained from its text and in light of its purpose. And I also refer to the Supreme Court judgments in Commerce Commission and Fonterra Cooperative Group Limited. And that is, perhaps if I do read that, Your Honour, because it's a very useful test from our Superior Court. it is necessary to bear in mind that Section 5 of the Interpretation Act 1999 makes text and purpose the key drivers of statutory interpretation. The meaning of an enactment must be ascertained from its text and in the light of its purpose. Even if the meaning of the text may appear plain in isolation of purpose, that meaning should always be cross-checked against purpose in order to observe the dual requirements of Section 5. And determining purpose, the court must obviously have regard to both the immediate and the general legislative context. Of relevance too may be the social, commercial, or other objective of the enactment. The purpose of an act must be contained in its, may be contained in its long title, a specific section specifying the purpose, or both. It is important to note that the Resource Management Act is a reforming, not a consolidating statute. Its long title states that it is an act to restate and reform the law relating to the use of land, air and water. Section 5, subsection 1 of the Resource Management Act states that the purpose of the Act is to promote the sustainable management of natural and physical resources. Such a general statement does not directly assist with the specific purpose of Section 413. Therefore, it's necessary to consider the general context within which the provision was enacted. As the cases show, it is permissible to have regard to extrinsic materials, such as explanatory notes and Hansard, for the purpose of interpreting a statute. If I can just interpose there, Your Honour, Professor Skelton also referred to some extrinsic materials in his report as well, which I haven't repeated. In terms of the scheme of the Act, sections 366 and 413 are contained in Part 15, which is headed Transitional Provisions. When the Act was introduced in December 1989, the explanatory note stated that the bill provides a new framework for resource management. With regard to Part 13, which became Part 15 of the Act, the explanatory note stated that the part provides for the phasing out of existing rights and mining privileges under the water and soil legislation. And Part 13 was explained further in the following terms. And I quote, Part 13 contains transitional provisions, except those relating to minerals, as well as dealing with usual transitional matters. It covers transitional arrangements for a variety of consents, licences and permits under the enactments being repealed. The intention of the part is to provide a smooth and quicker transition to the regime of the new legislation as possible, while taking account of the rights of existing consent holders, parties to proceedings, etc. Special arrangements were made for existing pre-1967 water uses, which are converted into special 10-year consents and other water rights. Likewise, mining privileges under the 1971 amendment to the Water and Soil Conservation Act are converted into special non-renewable rights. The Minister for the Environment spoke to the bill at both the first and second readings of its passage through the House. In his speech on the first reading, the Minister said of the bill that it is the largest law reform of its kind in the country's history. While nothing conclusive can be taken from the report in Hansard, it is submitted that the analysis of the explanatory notes demonstrates that the intent of Section 413 is that mining privileges are to be phased out completely after 30 years. Part 15 of the RMA was considered by the Court of Appeal in Hilda versus Port Otago Limited. The court stated, as to be expected in such major and far-reaching legislation, the Resource Management Act contains extensive savings and transitional provisions. Although Part 15 is entitled Transitional Provisions, many of the sections in that part are in the nature of savings provisions. Earlier in the judgment, when discussing the recognised objective of savings and transitional provisions, the court said. Generally speaking, the function of savings provisions, where a substantive statute replaces another, is to preserve any rights, powers, or privileges which may have accrued under the earlier enactment and which would or might otherwise cease to have effect. It is used to save what already exists. The function of transitional provisions, on the other hand, is to make special provision for the application of the new legislation to the circumstances which exist at the time the legislation comes into force. In other words, such provisions regulate and modify the provisions of the new statute during the period of provision. The Court of Appeal concluded that in the case before it, section 384, subsection 1 of the Resource Management Act operated as a transitional provision, whereas section 425, subsection 3, was a savings provision. Significantly, Part 15 does not contain a savings provision keeping alive mining permits granted before the new regime prescribed by the Act came into force. Instead, section 366, paragraph G, states that except as otherwise provided in Part 15, from the date of commencement of the Act, every current mining privilege or right shall cease to have any effect. Section 413, subsection 1, then deems current mining privileges to be water permits. It is clearly a transitional provision designed to recognise rights of mining privileges to 1st of October 2021, notwithstanding the fact that they no longer have any effect by virtue of section 366, paragraph G. In terms of the effect of section 413, subsection 1, on section 413, subsection 3, I submit it is important to note the opening words of section 413, subsection 1, except as provided in subsections 2 to 10, it is submitted that this wording is the draftsperson's method of ensuring that mining privileges are nevertheless going to finally expire in 2021. In summary, it is submitted that the effect of section 361 and part 15 of the RMA is that the 1971 Act is repealed, current mining privileges cease to have any effect as from the 1st of October 1991, except as otherwise provided in Part 15. Section 413, subsection 1, which is in Part 15, provides that except as provided in subsection 3, every current mining privilege is deemed to be a water permit if it authorises something that would otherwise contravene section 14 of the Resource Management Act. Section 413, subsection 3, provides that deemed water permits resulting from a mining privilege will finally expire on the 1st of October 2021. The language of section 413 includes the words deemed to be. This terminology suggests that there was a need to create a statutory fiction or statutory hypothesis. That is, something is to be treated as something it is not. Deeming provisions are generally for the purpose of treating, for certain purposes, things to be within the meaning of a word that would not normally be within it. In the case of section 413, subsection 1, the legislature has used a deeming provision to create a statutory fiction, as it deems a mining privilege to be something, a water permit granted under the RMA, that it is not. It is submitted that this in itself shows that deemed permits are a creature of statute. This suggests that without the deeming provision, the truth of the matter is that mining privileges are not deemed permits. The language of deeming ensures that in the absence of the 1971 Act, mining privileges are not left in the statutory vacuum during the transitional period. They are deemed to be by the RMA to be water permits. and they have no existence other than that created by the RMA. It's submitted, therefore, that deemed permits are a creature of statute that finally expire on the 1st of October 2021. Turning to the second question, in accordance with Section 124, the Resource Management Act, on an application for resource consent to replace a deemed permit, can the right of priority continue to be exercised until a decision is made, either granting or refusing consent? Section 124 of the Resource Management Act provides for the exercising of resource consent while applying for a new consent for the same activity, and I've set that out. When faced with an application under Section 124 for a new consent to replace a deemed permit, the court would have to consider the effect of Section 413, subsection 3, and whether the exercise of the right of priority could be continued after the 1st of October 2021. There is no difficulty with the continued exercise of rights of priority up until the 1st of October 2021. However, after that date, Section 124, subsection 3, would not save rights of priority because of Section 413, subsection 3, which states that a deemed permit shall include a condition that it will finally expire on the 1st of October 2021. In construing this question and the reach of Section 413, it is necessary to bear in mind the section's legislative purpose. As Francis Bennion said in Bennion on Statutory Interpretation, in determining the precise scope of a deeming provision, the court must, as with any other question of construction, attempt to discover the legislative intention from the words used and the other relevant interpretive criteria. The effect of the authorities discussed below may be summarised as being that the intention of a deeming provision is laying down a hypothesis, in that the hypothesis shall be carried as far as necessary to achieve the legislative purpose, but no further. It is submitted that the legislative purpose of Section 413, subsection 3, is to ensure that mining privileges are phased out completely by the 1st of October 2021. This interpretation is consistent with the explanatory note and the recognised objective of transitional provisions. Rights of priority are created by statute and they are removed by statute. Their removal under Section 413, subsection 3, is not expressed to be subject to Section 124, subsection 3. The legislature had the opportunity to state that Section 124, subsection 3, covers deemed permits after they finally expire on the 1st of October 2021, but did not do so. Therefore, it is submitted that the right of priority condition, deemed to be part of a water permit, cannot lawfully continue to be exercised after it has finally expired on the 1st of October 2021. The third question, can rights of priority be recognised in the provisions of PC 7 if they cease to have any effect on enactment of the RMA, section 366, paragraph G, and or deemed permits finally expire on the 1st of October 2021, section 413, subsection 3. The issue is whether the rights of priority granted under the 1971 Act can be recognised in a PC 7 rule if they have not been saved in the RMA. It is submitted that rights of priority contained in deemed permits cannot lawfully be recognised in the provisions of the PC 7 in the absence of a savings provision in the RMA. If a rule involving a priority regime were to be considered in PC 7 provisions, it would have to be re-evaluated under the RMA and meet the requirements of sections 66 and 67. And I footnoted there, Your Honour, that the National Policy Statement of Freshwater Management 2020 does include procedural requirements for interim planning frameworks that can be used for interim planning frameworks. In terms of the objective of PC7, the the provisions, the procedural provisions in the MPS are very prescriptive. The mandatory words are prevalent throughout the provisions. If I can just. I counted up the use of the word must. And it's 124 times in the document.
Wow. In the entire document?
Yes.
Right.
And also a number of the procedural provisions, such as action plans, can be expressed in a regulatory context as well as a voluntary context. But I haven't gone further than that because right. that didn't fall within the ambit of the question. Your Honour. So in conclusion, it is submitted that deemed permits are creatures of statute that finally expire on the 1st of October 2021. On an application for resource consent to replace a deemed permit, the right of priority cannot continue to be exercised after it has finally expired on the 1st of October 2021. And finally, rights of priority cannot be recognised in the provisions of PC 7 if they've ceased to have any effect on enactment of the RMA and or deemed permits finally expire on the 1st of October 2021. Your Honour, as amicus, I'd be really grateful that when you receive submissions from the other parties at the end of the month, June I think, that I would be entitled to perhaps put in a response if mm-hmm. that's helpful to the court.
All right, thank you. In that case, we'll probably have to have to ascertain whether any parties accept your opinion. Some have signalled that they may well do, and those that do not may have to file submissions in advance of that date so that you have a proper opportunity to respond. Mm.
That would be helpful if it's to be useful for the court that way rather than...
And, as discussed last week, there may be a workaround for those rights of priority which can't be recognised as rights of priority but which informal arrangements taking place within catchments, sub-catchments, may be able to be recognised. And following on from your last footnote on the last page, footnote number 22, obviously consideration will need to be given as to the process requirements which are signalled in the MPS for their validity. But I haven't yet to hear. I've yet to hear from parties as to whether any of that was of attraction to them. Yeah.
Yes, and my advice today, Your Honour, has been very much in the context of an interim framework, framework to deal with those deemed permits.
Well, thank you very much for your opinion.
Thank you, Your Honour.
Thank you. All right. I think we're now going to move to empanelling of planning witnesses, looking at the question of priority. And the how to and where from here.
I had anticipated we would commence that exercise after the lunch adjournment.
Well, we can take Honour. Lunch if you like, if that's probably convenient.
Yes.
And that also means that planners can take time to absorb Dr. Somerville's opinion. It will impact on the JWS as I post questions which assumed you could and questions that assumed you can't. Taking or bringing forward those rights priority, and so it'd be good to actually have their views on that before, as soon as we enter into that joint empanelling. And I'm hoping that council have talked to the planners about the court's workaround on Thursday, giving regulatory effect to those arrangements which are now in place with water user groups, as we understand some of it, but certainly don't understand all of it. All right. Everyone happy with that? Everyone's happy with that. So on that basis, we'll adjourn for lunch. And back here at, 1:30?
Yes, that would be convenient.
Thank you. All rise.